Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The weekly wrap on Money FM 89.3.
The Olympic Games set to come to an end this Sunday, and it's been quite the roller coaster, delayed a year by the coronavirus pandemic. The Tokyo Olympics went off with no spectators in the stands, families left at home, athletes who had to be masked, quarantined, tested daily. All this because of the ongoing COVID-19 state of emergency. Mental health was also a key debate. Simone Biles withdrawing from the gymnastics team event to prioritize her mental health. That sparked a conversation about the pressure on elite athletes. But for spectators, well, not the stadium, but at home, we still had a couple of moments of magic, a couple of moments of heartbreak. But the question still hangs, you know, as we head into the closing ceremony, do we really need this Olympics? Well, on the line with me this morning is James Walton, sports business group leader for Deloitte Southeast Asia. James, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Thanks a lot for helping me out. First of all, just a sidetrack to football, isn't it ridiculous when you pay $100 million for Jack Grealish?
£100 million.
£100 million, yeah.
And it's like London buses, right? You pay £100 million and then one day later, Lionel Messi comes along. So what do you do now?
Well, exactly. That number 10 is taken up. So, golly. Hey, who knows? Maybe Harry Kane goes to Man City as well. And then Leo Messi goes to your beloved Spurs.
That would be okay.
That'd be quite a merry-go-round. Okay, James, we're supposed to talk Olympics. I guess to start us off, what are your overall thoughts of the Olympics this year?
Yeah, it started off in a very surreal manner, seeing the empty stadiums and every day waiting for the, it was a bit like in Singapore during lockdown last year, every day waiting for the daily COVID briefing to tell you how many potential cases there were. But once the action got up, and as you said just now, once the human interest kind of stories, the things around Simone Biles, the men's high jumpers, the skateboarding in particular has really captured people's imagination. Once those things started to happen, you stopped kind of even noticing what was in the stands, and it really hasn't even been a subject of discussion. And the only thing that is a little bit sad and disappointing is that some of these events, speed climbing has been another incredible event to watch, that they deserved audiences, especially on their Olympic debut, and that's really the only disappointment now.
I'm glad you brought that up, you know, skateboarding and extreme sports in that sense, right? So heading into the Olympics, of course, there were several public polls, and the Japanese public were not happy. They didn't want the Olympics to happen. It happened in a state of emergency, and we saw some big names pull out of sponsorship. I want to talk about economic impact, because on one hand, you have empty stadiums, you have billions of dollars spent on these stadiums, and ticket refunds that needed to happen. But on the other hand, the potential, right, for future sponsorship in the area of skateboarding and other extreme sports, that seems to be quite high.
Yeah, I mean, it's been shown over recent years with the X Games and Red Bull coming in their sponsorships in various sports that this is an area because it appeals to a younger demographic. These people are not watching the traditional sports necessarily. And it's exciting. It's something that you can have highlight reels for and that anybody, even if you don't understand the sport, you can watch the skateboarding, you can watch the BMX biking and see a 360 backflip being done and just say, wow, that's something I can't imagine. And it really brought something back into the Olympics, which is, you know, over the years, for many millennials, for the younger generation, it's become a little bit stared, a little bit traditional, and maybe sports that people don't always relate to anymore.
This setting, though, would have been almost perfect for things like esports to perhaps thrive at the Olympics, wouldn't it? Although, not quite the same feeling.
Yeah, I mean, not quite the same feeling, but it will be coming. It's only a matter of time now. The IOC has basically said that they are going to confer status onto esports federations in the next few years. And once they confer that status, that does give an opportunity. But unfortunately, for some of the sports like squash and netball and cricket that have been lobbying to try to get Olympic status, the success of the sports this time, you know, BMX and speed climbing and skateboarding, plus one or two of the other sports that are still hanging around, like dance sport, means it gets ever and ever less likely that a sport like netball or cricket will get into the games.
Yeah, that's a little unfortunate. So on the back of the Olympics, as we head to the closing ceremony, this one had no fans, emergency lockdown sort of thing. The Euros were a very different picture. That tournament gradually allowed more fans as the stages went along. I mean, with these two contrasting methods of organizing a major tournament, what does it mean for the sports from now until we get into a post-COVID world?
So I think a lot of it always depends on the local situation, the local environment, and the situation in Europe during the European Championships was that they were starting to control the cases, arguably. There was a little bit of lockdown fatigue, so to speak, and so they were opening up, and this almost became a symbol of them opening up. Whereas in Japan, with the Tokyo Olympics, they were actually heading into higher numbers in the last couple of months, and the Olympics became a symbol, in fact, of having to shut down. But it is going to be interesting over the next couple of months. We're seeing Premier League teams are putting out some very interesting rules already for the new season around whether or not you need to be vaccinated or show a test result to attend games in the Premier League, but they are moving towards having full capacity in the next couple of months. We just saw the Rugby League World Cup actually just got called off because Australia and New Zealand refused to travel and has been postponed to next year. So we're still very much in a state of flux. There will be events happening in certain places, at least for the next couple of months, that may have empty stands. Yeah. There will be a lot of events operating at a 60-70% capacity, and I think we will not see full capacity in the majority of places in the world, realistically, for close to another year.
Yeah, and that's obviously going to have a huge impact on the various spendings that club. I mean, you just take a look at this morning, Lionel Messi being let go by Barcelona simply because the Spanish clubs don't have that kind of money because they're not selling tickets. Yeah. But on the back of all of this as well, I mean, looking at the Olympics, two-part question. A, would you consider it a successful Olympic Games? And as we head into Paris, do we really need this Olympic tournament?
So I think to your first question, you know, there was the austerity games after the Second World War. And I think in many regards, this will go down in history as similar, that it was somewhat not the games that everyone imagined, but that it was a necessary thing to heal the world a little bit and to bring people back together and to give a focus of attention as we come out of these difficult times. So I think it will be remembered, and thankfully I think it will be remembered for the right reasons. In terms of Paris, I mean, Paris will be relieved now because they were concerned for a while about how this, you know, if Tokyo got pushed back again or if it got too close or if they got asked to shift. So they can now plow full ahead. But for the athletes, it's going to be very, very challenging because for most of them in their sports in the next couple of years, they have Asian Games, Commonwealth Games, World Championships, European Championships that would usually be in a four-year cycle compressed into a three-year cycle. But Paris will be a wonderful Games. After that, of course, we have Los Angeles. There's a very good set of really incredible world venues coming up in the cycle. And hopefully 3 years from now, this will all be a distant memory and we'll be able to see full crowds in Paris.
Yeah, hopefully you and I can be in Paris enjoying the Olympics. Maybe we'll make an appointment then. James Walton, Sports Business Group Leader for Deloitte Southeast Asia on the line with me. James, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you, Elliot. Take care.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.